My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Welcome back, I should say, part two of the EDP Formula One podcast for this week. We have dissected Australia, I think, in pretty good value for it. We now look ahead. We look ahead to Malaysia. Back-to-back races to get the season off and up and running. Could have almost done with a longer break between the two, couldn't we? Just to work out what's gone on.
Yeah, I'm busy.
Is that just me?
Yeah, I'm busy this weekend, so I'm really annoyed.
Are you? I was busy last weekend. I'm still not really sure I saw the race properly.
I'm busy every weekend. I still find time, people. That's what passion's all about. Come on now.
Oh, there he is. The pep talk. As you can see, Perry HD Hamilton Dewars. The man about town.
And all of the other names that go along with it.
An immense amount of names. Hence why I just call him Ped.
He's Arstig.
He is Arstig. Yeah,
just kept in a box and brought out for these occasions.
Wheeled out, yeah. Indeed. David Tillier is here. And Jack Phillips is here. Are we doing well, Jack? Hanging on in there?
Just about.
Good man. This is no longer your debut. You are now officially initiated.
Yeah, difficult second album.
Indeed, yeah. Pressure's on, mate.
You're going to be criticised no matter what, aren't you? Yeah. To be honest.
Okay, so part two, we look forward to Malaysia. Conditions will be completely different to Australia. It'll be a bit warmer, a lot warmer, you'd hope. It's going to rain. It always rains.
It's like, yeah.
And the tyres are going to disintegrate, which did happen in Australia. We like Malaysia? Are we fans?
Yeah.
Not as in the country, in Kuala Lumpur, which is a lovely city, I hear.
I would really like to go, actually. It would be. And there's a little link for us in the EDP, because it's Lotus, Proton, Malaysia,
exactly.
F1.
Exactly, yes.
Intertwined somewhere there.
Wonderful linear thinking.
well crowbarred in, detail. Yeah. Well crowbarred.
How about the circuit? It's I quite like the circuit.
Yeah, I quite like it. I think it's got
produced a good race last year.
Yeah, it's got some really nice corners. I quite like the sort of the double straight complex where they've got the... as Ped is showing me
that is sound work.
The phallic shaped thing in the middle.
Brilliant.
Oh, that actually
well
happened.
Done. Yeah.
We've said that now, haven't we? Oh,
crikey. Only took three podcasts. Four podcasts.
Oh, DT.
So, yes, we'll enjoy watching the cars go around the phallic part of of Malaysia. That'll be exciting. Are we going to see a pattern, do you think, after this race, Jack? Are we going to start figuring out what people are doing, or is it just...
I still think everything's up in the air. I think... It's so different to Melbourne. The weather is impossible to predict. No one knows how the tyres are going to stand up. I think as long as the teams get through it with points on the board, that's all they can really hope for, I think.
It's a real tough challenge, isn't it, for them, these two back-to-back races, flyaway races.
Yeah, and the strain of Malaysia as well, I think, on the drivers physically, is going to... For the second race of the season, you think that's a bit harsh on them, really. Like a nice, easy step in, but no.
Anyway, you've got to see if they've done their proper winter fitness work, isn't it, Ped? We'll find out if they're going to struggle now.
Well, we all know Jenson Button does about 5 triathlons, so...
it might take that much.
Technically 15 athlons is what he does. He does 15 athlons.
Will that help the McLaren, or does it need more than that?
No, God, no. No,
have you ever done an athlon?
That needs a milathlon. That's what McLaren needs, a milathlon of workouts. No, I've never even done a single athlon.
A miracle.
Let alone a triathlon. I don't think I could even handle that. But being the natural born athlete that I am, I fully understand the strains and stresses that they're going to have. No, I love the circuit. Very enjoyable. The weather always mixes things up. And last year it served up an absolute treat to us. So
Indeed. Sergio Perez. He should have won there last year, really, shouldn't he? I assumed it was because he was going to end up in a Ferrari seat, but how things change in 12 months.
Yeah. No, that was a great race, actually, and we all did say, didn't we, that we thought that Perez would be a Ferrari driver.
Heard it here first on the EDP F1 podcast.
Exactly. And it didn't happen. Isn't that technically slander?
Probably.
We've said it and then it didn't happen.
We've not had a letter yet, so that's
okay.
Good.
Yeah, I don't think Stefano Domenicali listens to the podcast.
Yet.
Unfortunately.
Yet, DT. So. Give it time.
I'm absolutely fine with that. He's not my favourite person in the paddock.
No. I want Kimi to listen, though.
I don't think Kimi would care.
I think I could die happy if Kimi listened to the podcast at least once.
I think I could if I get into a situation where I can play it as he walks past me.
That counts.
I think we could probably count that.
That counts. We can tick that box.
Officially listened to by Kimi Räikkönen.
Yeah.
I think we'd get away with that.
And if we could just get him to nod in your direction, then technically it would be officially
endorsed. He's already done that. I mean,
well, there you go. Then
I've asked him a question and I got six words out of him. So
six?
Fundamentally, a monstrous success.
Six better than if you'd have asked him whether he misses Michael Schumacher or not.
Yeah, yes. This is it. Yes. Just tell the story, David.
Well, Sky Sports have got the F1 show on Friday, and they've now got a new feature that is Kimi's Quote of the Week. And to kick it off, they had another news team from, I don't know which country, but it might have been Belgium or somewhere.
Channel 4 News.
Yeah. And they asked Kimi, at one of the sort of the press bits before the race, they said, do you miss having Michael Schumacher in Formula 1? And he literally said, he smiled, said no, and walked away. You know, there was no hesitation. He didn't think about it. He just, nope. It was brilliant. Absolute, just classic Kimi.
Wonderful. I remember interviewing Heikki Kovalainen. God bless him. He's still alive. Just dead to Formula 1, maybe.
Still dear to our hearts.
Indeed,
oh, yeah. Yeah, we're big Heikki fans here.
When he first arrived at Hingham, asking him what it'd be like to work back with Mike, meaning Gascoigne. To which he went on about how great it was that Michael Schumacher was back on the grid. So I didn't have the heart to point out that wasn't quite what I meant. But there we go. Poor Michael. Kimi's comeback is going a little bit better, thankfully, than Mr. Schumacher's. Question here, then. Who is this weekend most important for after the fallout from Australia, Jack?
I think the easy answer is McLaren. But I think, again, they can write it off, get points, and that's all they can really do. But I really cannot predict this weekend. I think
we are going to ask you to. By the way, you aren't going to be able to get out of it.
Yeah,
that is not an excuse.
I think Red Bull have got a lot of questions to answer with their tyres and with their pace, because it seemed to disappear. I think Bianchi's fastest lap in Australia was 0.04 of a second slower than Vettel, which says a lot about both of them, really. So I think Red Bull have a lot to answer for.
Cracking stuff, certainly, yes. Ped?
Yeah, I was going to say Red Bull, actually. They certainly do have to step up, because we expect more from them, in all honesty. Triple world champions, triple constructors champions, you know, back-to-back, needs to be done. You know, you can't just drop off like that. And it's not just us. I mean, yes, you have a lot to prove in terms of your performance and to your fans, but you've got a lot of proof to now to your sponsors and to the people that pay you that they've not, because I mean, how many new sponsors will being triple world champions have brought in? And you know, to do as badly as you did in Australia when it was handed to you, effectively, you know, you owned that grid at the beginning, for it to fall apart and for all to have all of those kind of issues is not really acceptable. So they have a huge amount to prove. Personally, I think purple's a very heavy colour, and it's what's slowing them down. If they just drop the purple flashes off of the side of the pods and off of the suits as well, I think you'd be finding, you know, 3-4 tenths a lap.
Easy. Doesn't seem to affect them when they're the fastest times of the weekend. No,
you don't need Barney the Dinosaur as a sponsor.
No, precisely. It's not necessary.
Good old Barney. There you go. The first mention of Barney the Dinosaur on the EDP F1 podcast.
I mean, if you're trying to impress Prince, then that's the right colour to go with. But if Prince has got nothing to do with Formula 1, then you need to drop the purple.
There's no way Prince is a petrol head, surely.
Good size for a Formula 1 driver, though.
This is it, yeah, true. Yeah. Don't write him off.
I would just drop in there. I think that Lotus is probably the biggest weekend for them.
Oh, you've nicked mine.
Sorry.
Good, no, great minds think alike.
Indeed,
DT is fine.
Indeed. I think, as Jack's quite rightly put, there's a good chance they might drop off towards the end of the year, because they haven't got the budget to keep up the rate of progression that all the other teams do. So they need to capitalise on this pace. They need to take their win. They need to galvanise the team even more, and they need to push forward and hopefully challenge for another victory, hopefully.
Well, indeed, and the weekend is going to prove how much of them getting everything right in Australia with the tyres and the strategy, and with tyres especially, is down to the car or was down to that weekend's circumstances. I mean, if they rock up and they produce a car that is so good on its tyres over the race in Malaysia, and that's then two races in different conditions back to back, and start to get excited.
Yeah. And Malaysia is a high deg circuit. See, I'm down with the lingo.
High deg circuit. So the tyre situation for Malaysia, different compounds they're taking to Australia?
Yes, we have a new hard compound.
From Australia, I should say.
Yeah. They're taking the medium tyre, but they're also taking a new hard compound tyre, which is going to come in a new colour, so a new flavour, in orange flavour.
Yep.
So I don't really know much about the new tyre, but it is a new one for Pirelli, so it's going to make its debut at Malaysia.
So are we thinking, though, that a harder compound tyre often... it can be a little bit slippy to get grips with early on, can't they? Get to grips with.
Yeah, it's going to take longer to get those heat into those tyres. The heat,
they're going to take a little bit longer to warm up. So how many, I mean, I don't suppose we know how many laps they'd be able to do. Do you think that would make it a two-stop race? Or?
Well, I don't know. It could be, if they don't know how what they're going to get out of the tyres, and if it's wet qualifying and practice, it could be like three or four. It could be carnage. It could be pit stop carnage, couldn't it?
I just imagine the head of Pirelli to just be some crazy man just turning cranks and handles on a machine that he doesn't really know how it works.
I'm not sure that's what Paul Hembree does.
Just to try and make as much craziness as possible. I love it. I think it's brilliant.
I agree.
I think it was Martin Brundle said over the Australian Grand Prix that, you know, Pirelli could have turned up with the hard and the medium tyre. Everyone could have one-stopped and we'd have had a really boring race.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they choose tyres that are relevant to the situation to make it really, really interesting. But it is a kind of a mad scientist feel to it that I think it's brilliant.
Are they taking it too far though?
Jack's a purist.
I think Saturdays are now irrelevant, aren't they? So Q3, they might as well not bother. They might just flip a coin because no one really cares where they are in the top 10 because they're now at a disadvantage, and I think it's too far. I want just a one lap shootout in qualifying again.
I have to say, I thought in Australia they could have just forgotten about Q3 because of the constraints and literally just done a Q2 to work out the grid and be done then by Saturday.
Yeah, then Button would have been fourth and I would have been happy.
Yeah. It would have been a false position, DT, I'm afraid. The big one then, obviously, we need predictions. Well, I tend to say, you know, three little predictions maybe. We were a bit short last week, gents. Although, DT, your tip for Jensen Button to win was arguably inspired.
It was catastrophically wrong, though.
I can say this because I predicted Kimi to win.
Yes, I did,
mocked
Michael.
Myself and then was proved right.
As you can imagine, there was a collective mixture of applause and groaning when he crossed the line for me watching that. I was just like, oh, well done, Kimi. Oh, no. We'll have to put up with Michael now.
There's a new bonus system where we're going to give kudos points, I've decided.
Okay.
I've given myself a kudos point. pretty much. For spending so long predicting Kimi and actually getting one right.
Well, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
Exactly.
Well, if you keep predicting something, then it's probably likely to happen.
I've given you one for the ridiculousness of predicting Lewis Hamilton to win and get a pole.
But he at least did really well and showed those flashes.
He was nowhere near getting either of those.
Well,
you should probably get a kudos point for Button.
He was fairly near getting pole. He was third.
I like the boldness of it.
Yeah,
so that's why you get that one.
And he proved that he's competitive, and I feel that I've done well to support him in that.
Well, bless you. I'm sure he appreciates it.
I don't think I'm going to get any kudos points this week, though.
Well, we shall see. Depends what you go for. Malaysia. Who am I going to go there? Go on then, Ped. Give us yours first.
Race result, Ferrari 1-2.
Ferrari 1-2.
Obviously, Alonso first. Let's not be silly. I predicted Massa to win and they let Massa win in a Ferrari 1-2, I think I should just win the prediction league, hands down. But I'm not going to do that because I'm that confident that it won't happen. I'm going to go Ferrari 1-2, but I'm going to say that Alonso gets pole, but Massa's not on the front row. So Massa will work his way up and get behind, and he'll help keep people behind and what have you.
I love Ped's specific predictions. That is exactly how it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go down.
He wants more.
Yeah, and I'm going to say points for Hülkenberg.
Okay.
Points for Hülkenberg. Didn't get his race in, so he's going to be coming into this fairly raw, but I'm going to say he's going to do well. Third podium position, Nico Rosberg. There you go.
Wow.
There's my three.
Was it only three?
Technically a race result. So you got Alonso and Massa 1-2, Rosberg taking the third place on the podium, and Hülkenberg to get some points. That's my prediction.
There you go. You don't have to be that specific, Jack. You can do whatever you want, but give us a couple of them.
I think the Mercedes are going to have two steps of the podium. Their top speed was...
Two out of the three?
Yes. And their top speed last season was so great that they kind of lost it over the winter. So I think with the straights, with the pace of Hamilton as well, I think one of those two will be first, second or third. I won't sort of nail them to it. And then Alonso will be on the other one again because, well, he's Alonso. I wasn't an Alonso fan until last year, like many, but he's going to be knocking off podiums all season, I think. So Yeah, Mercedes, and then I think Williams will again have an abysmal weekend.
Yeah, we haven't really mentioned them, but
my dark horse.
Yeah, yeah, that was right. Yeah, go on, you're racking up the kudos for Mercedes.
He's the anti-oracle, isn't he?
give us this week's jewels.
Right, it's going to be quite easy for me this week. Vettel pole, Alonso win, Raikkonen on the podium.
Boom.
Yeah.
Fair enough. He's gone. Well,
he hasn't gone out of the. He's not gone out of box there, has he? Though, if you think about that, he's not. So,
Vettel pole.
I'm not going to get any kudos points for that.
Vettel pole, Alonso win, Raikkonen
on the podium.
Podium. You see, I was actually going to say that the podium would be exactly the same again.
Ooh, now that's a bold shot. But you're not necessarily saying they're all in the same place.
No, I suppose not quite the same, is it? Because
I haven't basically said. I don't know whether Vettel's definitely going to be on the podium.
He hasn't allowed Vettel a podium position. Seb will be devastated when he hears. Because obviously, Kimi Raikkonen probably doesn't listen, but I'm sure Seb does. Yeah.
I'm ruling out Mercedes, but I just think it'll be the same. It'll be the same three. I don't know about the order.
I can't help but feel that.
I think it's
Jack and I have been a bit ganged up on here by you two, because you've been sharing your little secrets and great minds thinking alike. But I thought Jack and I have got some good plans.
How badly did DT do last week?
Absolutely,
do I really
want to
be on this side?
Yeah,
of the
but see, you'll split the difference because you did a very good prediction last week.
Well, that's so actually true. Yes, good point. I like it. I just think this could be a titanic season between the three of them. Mm. I think they could just be sharing. I mean, it would be ridiculous to share the same podium again, but
I'm hoping to ride Jack's rookie goodwill. Yeah. That he's brought with him to the podcast. I'm hoping to get on his coattails.
We're all trying to get a head start on Kyle, so
we'll try and do it. He'll be back soon, isn't he?
He'll be back soon.
He already knows what day he's coming back, and you haven't even asked him.
I don't even know.
Exactly. You don't know, but he knows what race he'll be here for because he's the Oracle.
I won't tell him, and I'll see if he just turns up.
Well, of course he will.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, then. I think we'll wrap this one up. Ped, Jack, David. I keep calling you David. DT.
David's
D-Man.
Good. Yeah.
Thanks all for coming in, sharing your thoughts. Much appreciated. edp24.co.uk/F1 for column, podcast, all sorts of F1 gubbins with Lotus and Caterham. We'll do the Twitter roundup. I am at Michael J. Bailey. There is the EDP F1 Twitter feed as well, at EDPF1. I came up with that one myself, so there you go.
Completely without the aid of a safety net.
Yeah, or car. Ped.
At PedHD56.
Jack.
At J. Pippin.
There he is. DT?
At Dave Tillier.
Spelt?
T-I-L-L-Y-E-R.
Love it. There you go. Bonus. You might actually get to follow him this time.
Yeah.
There we go then. Wrap it up. Enjoy Malaysia. We'll see you on the other side. Bye for now.